Lieutenant Governor had a news conference talking about a letter that you have sent to Washington. Basically, give us an overview of that and what you hope to accomplish from it.
Yes, sir. The letter was authored to the president. It explains what all states are going through, and that's the budgetary crunch that's put in place by our Medicaid program. You know, Medicaid is a worthwhile program, absolutely needed to take care of those that are aged and blind, disabled, pregnant women and children. But it is growing at 2.5 times the rate of the rest of the budget. And the total for this next biennium is $60 billion. That's almost 30% of the state budget. We need the flexibility from the federal government to be able to manage our Medicaid program as we need to. So that's right for our citizens and right for the taxpayers and right for the future of Texas. And we don't have that flexibility from our federal government. And that letter was written by all 20 Republican members of the Senate and Lieutenant Governor Patrick, requesting and imploring that we get that flexibility from our federal government.
And obviously, the Supreme Court really hearing the gist of the Obama care law yesterday, and of course we won't have the judgment on that for a while, but obviously there are any number of areas that, I guess once we finally started rolling in it, we see where the holes are, where the gaps are, and where the danger is.
Right. Well, you know, Obamacare was a law passed on straight party lines by the Democrats, and, you know, so one-size-fits-all, from top-down federal government approach to healthcare reform. And we desperately need a healthcare reform, but Obamacare has been changed so many times. It's a fatally flawed law that is driving up costs, causing a ton of confusion, and increases the control over our healthcare system by government. And I don't believe it's the right course for Texas or for America.
So based on those two things, and so I'd like to get your comments, because obviously yesterday you were named by Jane Nelson, who's the Senate Finance Chair, to head up the work group for Article 2, which has to do with health care in Texas. And as we've discussed, this is could well end up being the largest single chunk of the budget. So congratulations to that, and I'd like to get your comments on it.
Well, thank you. It's a big obligation. A health and human service portion of our budget is going to be about $75 billion, and that is going to be equal to or maybe even larger than the education piece. And we need to make sure that we comb the budget as thoroughly as possible and prioritize within the health and human service agencies and programs, those programs that are worthwhile and need to be funded, and those that need to be changed or modified or eliminated. And our work group is going to get to work on Monday. And we got to have our work done by the 16th of March.
And I guess congratulations in order for the Senate. You passed your first bill yesterday, which has to do with the highway funding now. We're going to take registration money and free that up for highway funding?
That's right. I'm pleased to report that. It passed out of the Senate. It's heading over to the House. But it increases dedication of funds to transportation. We're doing that by right now we pay 6.25% of sales tax on new or used vehicles when we purchase a vehicle. And it dedicates a portion of that sales tax to transportation. Right now, that funding is going to our general ledger, instead of going to funding. And so this takes a portion of that money and dedicates it for transportation needs. And that's a high priority of the state and the voters and the citizens. They certainly see the need for enhanced transportation and road construction. It is difficult at times to get from point A to point B, and not to mention what it does to our Texas economy.
Charles Schwertner joining us this morning from Austin. We were commenting on the show on Monday. It looked like it was almost tax apology week in Austin. Almost every elected official over there wanted to talk about how, in this case, the margins tax maybe was something that should not have been implemented, certainly the way that it was. You and I spoke last week about how it looks like there are going to be a whole lot of smaller businesses will not have to be paying that tax. So, I mean, it's always, you can always look back with 2020 vision, but maybe the way that that proposal was written years ago, should it just not have been written that way? Did Legislative Budget Board not come up with good numbers? How did we end up having so many small businesses in Texas having to pay a margins tax that now we don't need to have them pay?
Well, you know, it was done in 2006, kind of under the gun because of a court order regarding education. And the margins tax just is not an easy tax to administer or pay. There's compliance issues and headaches with having to deal with the margins tax and the calculation of the margins tax. And we need to, I personally would like to see it dramatically overhauled and changed and done away with. You know, Texas is a state that doesn't have an income tax. We're a right-to-work state. We're a fair and consistent regulation state. And if we didn't have a large business tax that was complex, I think it would just continue to power our economy. That said, you can't get rid of it overnight. So we are continuing to try to make it better regarding how it's administered. And my bill would exempt small businesses that make $4 million or less in gross revenue from the margins tax. So it would obviously ease completely those individuals, $4 million or less, those businesses, $4 million or less, from having to pay that and ease them from the headache of having to deal with it.
We would appreciate this, all the small business owners in Texas, that's for sure.
And, you know, those are the job creators. Yeah. The vast majority of jobs in Texas are created by small business, and, you know, we need to help them out as much as possible.
One of the news stories we had just ahead of our conversation with you was the Senate Bill 15 that Jane Nelson, the Senate Finance Chairman, has introduced, a measure that basically would exempt any state money used to make up for tax cuts, including reductions to school property taxes the state must make up for, counting toward the cap. This could end up freeing up a whole lot of money. Give me your thoughts on Senate Bill 15.
Yeah, not only tax cuts, but debt, too. Paying off debt would not count toward the spending cap. So, you know, I have some concerns about that, to be quite frank. I need to discuss it more with my colleagues. But, you know, we have a spending cap, and we have a spending cap for a purpose. And I think we need to try to live within our budgetary means and projections and not break our spending cap. That's my initial thought on that issue.
You know, one of the things, of course, Texas has going for it is that our economy is doing so well. But while the go ahead,
oil and gas is $50 a barrel now.
Yeah, it's good. It's not going to look good as we head down toward the horizon, at least for right now. But while the state seems to be in a situation where there is money there and we need to spend it efficiently and effectively, counties and cities seem to be taking on more and more tax burden. Now, I don't know that there's a lot that can be done in Austin, but that has to be a concern as a state-elected official that our cities are taking on more debt right now. And does it become the responsibility of Austin to help out there?
Well, in certain situations, I think that is appropriate for the state to help out. For instance, the roads that were torn up by oil and gas exploration and production in certain counties, county roads that were torn up. And, you know, the state had never funded county road construction, and we did that last session, addressing something that was a state priority and obviously I think a responsibility beyond what those counties could handle. But counties need to live within their means too, and you know they do have rollback elections and you know 8% and they have their budgets. So it's incumbent upon all elected officials at all levels, city, state, county, and federal to try to be frugal and efficient with the taxpayers' money. Unfortunately, at the federal level, they have a printing press, and they can continue to print out dollars to pay for programs that future generations are going to have to pay for eventually.
Yeah, that's a model I don't think we need to be following, but it does concern me a little bit that cities and counties are somehow thinking they need to be spending. So we, I think, as I can speak for a lot of Texas taxpayers and business owners, we like the way it sounds over in Austin right now. We just hope when the session's over that everything can come to fruition that will give us some tax relief, if at all possible.
Well, we're going to try our best. I certainly anticipate that we will have tax relief and that we will have the priorities of the state funded when we get out of here in June.
Now, do we go back to Wednesday of next week, or do we know? I know it's ended up being, this has really ended up being a frenetic week for you.
I'm going to have to defer to my chief of staff and let him talk to you. I apologize.
That's all right. No, I understand.
We'll get together next week sometime, either Wednesday or Thursday.
That's what we'll promise. If you'll do that, then we're fine. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye. All right. It's 12 minutes still.
Want a new home without the hassle?